Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many are grateful for what God has done for you? Yeah. Amen. I've preached out of here before, but I asked the Holy Spirit where he wants me to go, and I said, well, I've done that before. And he says, go, but I've done that. Let me look around. No, Holy Spirit, go there. Where is it we're going? Colossians. So turn your Bibles to Colossians. I would rather have a message from the Holy Spirit any day than a prepared sermon. God told me to look at this differently. Not that we're changing the meaning, but he wants us to take a new look at Colossians. He wants us to take a look prophetically. He wants you to see. Did you hear that? Yeah. He wants you to see. In the book of Deuteronomy, it says that formerly they were called seers. God wants you to see. And I want that to be the theme that you have in your mind as we read this passage of Scripture. That God wants you to see. But one cannot see unless they have light. Hello. Because in darkness you are blind. Blindness always isn't an ailment of the eyes. Sometimes it's the ailment of the environment. Environment, did you hear that? An ailment of the environment. In other words, if you are walking in darkness, you have an atmosphere of darkness around you and you are unable to see. And wherever you go, you are plagued by the same thing. Unable to see. Unable to hear what the Spirit is saying. How many know in Revelations it says, hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. God is calling his people to hear him. Many times I've been around people and they say, how do you know the voice? How do you hear the voice of God? And I'm thinking, how do you not? How do you not hear the voice of God? I've heard the voice of God from the moment I was saved. And I'm not, it's not a bragging thing. It's a faith thing. Jesus said, my sheep shall know my voice. Okay. I want to know his voice. I want to see. I want the light. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. I want you to understand that Colossae is located in modern-day Turkey. Okay? That's where it's located. It's one of the seven churches that Jesus had a revelation for. But I want you to understand this, that if the revelation is about the end time, it's about seeing. It's about seeing where you are and the time frame that you live in. It's about seeing your life in the context of God coming again. What is it he wants you to do with your life? And I'm surprised at the idea that so many people think that they are just born by happenstance. They just happen to be here. And that nothing is required of them but to eat and sleep and work and then die. That is not reality. That is darkness. The reality of it is God has a plan. He has a will. He has a purpose. He has a reason. And when we walk into that, we know that we are doing what God wants us to do because we have his will exposed in our lives. That's light. That's seeing. But I like Jesus because he's not afraid of anything. Okay? He's not afraid of anything. He's not afraid of an antichrist. He's not afraid of a devil. And how many Christians walk around, they won't even pay for something if it comes up to 666? For crying out loud, grow a backbone. While you're at it, grow some faith. Because we are the victors, we are the overcomers. That's what my Bible says. What does yours say? Does it say you're the wimps? Does it say you're the one beaten down, trodden down underfoot by the devil? No, it says he's under your feet. Why in the world are you under his? We've got to get a vision of who we are. We have to see. Amen. I love the fact that out of Turkey is one of the greatest armies that's going to come against Israel in the end times. Yet God spoke in Revelation to reveal these things. And where are all seven churches located? Right in the heart of the beast. Right in the heart of the beast are seven churches, out of which the Antichrist shall arise. Right? And God has his people. We stand up, we fear not, because we see. We have vision. And that's more than just vision to be able to see something physically. I'm talking about vision to see into the spiritual. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, the good news, which has come to you, just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth, increasing. The truth should be increasing. Hello? It should be increasing. We shouldn't be stagnant. We shouldn't be sitting there hoping God is going to drop something into me. You see, we got a crowd of people in the church that think that they can not study the Word of God and get revelation. Come on. They think they don't have to study, but they're going to get great revelation. Yeah, they're going to get a revelation, all right. But it's going to be a revelation of darkness. It's going to be a revelation that leads you into bondage. It's not going to be a revelation that sets you free. My Bible tells me, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed. Yeah? Are you with me? Increasing. Verse 7. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on your behalf. And he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with all, what? Knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Come on. Increasing in the knowledge of God. You can't even increase in the knowledge of God unless you take what you got and start walking in it. If you stop walking in the revelation you got, and if you stop seeking for revelation, you will not get any more. You will wind up being deceived. God has called you to the light, but you got to go. He said, here it is, you've got to go get it. He didn't just make your whole world full of light, but he invites you to make your world full of light. That means that he will lead you correctly if you are willing. Come on, prophetic vision. Prophetic vision. I'm talking about prophetic vision. The ability to see. I want to make a statement right here so that you can chew. You can't see without the Word of God. Not even prophetically. Do you want your prophetic ability to increase? It's in the Word. It's in the Word. That's the one thing that I've noticed in my own life. The more of the Word of God I get understanding of, the more prophetic I'm able to be. The more able I'm to interpret dreams, the more I'm able to give a prophetic word, to hear the voice of the Lord. Because when you walk in light, you can see things as God sees them. That's prophecy. Hear me. When you walk in the Word of God, when you know that you have the truth, it gives you the ability to see as God sees. That's prophetic. You can look at a situation and see, that's darkness right there. That's darkness. I can see it. It's revealed to me. Before I couldn't see it, but I got a hold of some of this. Got a hold of some of this word. And when I got a hold of some of this word, now I can see that thing, man. I can see that that's dark. I didn't even know that was dark. I was playing around with that stuff, man. Now I'm, I see it now. I see it because I got some word. I got some understanding. Got me some wisdom. Now I have a prophetic vision. And I can see the dark. You can't see the dark unless you're in the light. You can't see the light if you're walking in the dark. Do you see what I'm saying? Your ability to see prophetically is skewed by the darkness that you walk in. Come on. There is so much more for you. That means there is so much more for you to walk in than you've ever dreamed. Because there's so much more word for you to get a hold of. Oh, I love the Word of God. I know that what I'm saying is true because I can see it. I can see it, and the Word of God testifies to it. Let's keep reading. Strengthened with all power. What is this? Strengthened with all power. The more of the Word of God you get, the more you feel like standing tall in the face of the enemy. Strengthened. 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 How many people refuse to get the Word of God, therefore they refuse to be strengthened, and they are weak? They're weak-willed. What does this say? I pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you may walk in a manner worthy of Christ. How many know walking in a manner worthy of Christ isn't just walking without sin? It's walking into destiny. That's a manner worthy of Christ, is it not? Did Jesus walk in his destiny? Then you can too. Then you can too also walk not only in your destiny, but you can get to the end having accomplished all that God has called you to do. Is that not what you want? If it's what you want, shut up and die. If that's what you want, shut up and die. Quit thinking you're all of that and a bag of chips. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it in your own heart. You can't do it in your own mind. You have to have a Holy Spirit guiding you and leading you. And you can't hear him if you're listening to yourself. That's why I'm saying shut up and die. So that you can hear what Holy Spirit's saying. So you can walk in the light, strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might. This isn't my strength, my ability to stand before a Pharaoh is not my own strength, but it is his. Moses didn't stand in his own strength. He stood in the power of the living God. What did Moses, well, God, what if I do if he says no? You would have been asking the same question now, I'm telling you right here. Pharaoh is nothing to mess around with. People lose their lives coming before Pharaoh. Hear me. And so Moses is asking the right question. Lord, what is it that, what if he says no? What am I supposed to do? What did the Lord say? Take that rod, throw it down on the ground. And so he took the rod and he threw it on the ground. And it turned into a serpent. Whoa. Okay, now we're talking power. Now we're talking about scaring the daylights out of that Pharaoh. Okay, pick it up. Okay, picked it up and it turned back to a staff. Whoa. Show me your hand, Moses. Yeah, here. It's leprous. It's leprous. Put your hand back in your clothes. Okay, now show it. Okay, it's clean. Man, you're pulling these tricks with me, God. What's he doing? I'm showing you my power. I'm showing you that you don't walk alone. You got to shut up and die. You got to shut up and die so he can arise in your life and do great things, powerful things, miraculous things. It's not going to happen when we try to hold on to our agenda. It's not easy letting go of our agenda. If you want to hold on to it, go ahead. But it's going to burn. It's going to be like fire. And it's going to hurt you. Because your agenda, I guarantee, is not his agenda. One of the greatest sermons I heard one day was about surrender. And when I heard the prayer of surrender, I go, that's deep. That might be deeper than many people are willing to go. Because the prayer of surrender that I heard was nothing like you see up on the wall. Father, make me into the man or woman of God that you've created me to be, and that without consequences to my family, without regard to my family, without regard to my finances, without regard to my life. If your will is for me to die, then I want to die. If your will is for me to live, then I want to live. If your will is for me to go forward and preach the gospel, then I want to preach the gospel. I don't want to do anything of myself. You ready to pray that? Are you ready to become a radical Christian? One that actually believes what this says and is tired of the compromising that churches are making with the Word of God, saying, no, no, it doesn't mean that. Homosexuality is okay. It's no problem. We have an open church to suggest that anybody else is closed-minded. No, you don't have an open church. You got an open sepulcher with rotting bones inside, with flesh coming off, with a stench that reaches all the way to heaven. That's what you got. According to his glorious might, for the attaining, what are we talking about? I pray that you be filled with all wisdom, knowledge, understanding, for the attaining of steadfastness. Hear me. Steadfastness. You want to be able to endure in the face of tribulation? You need a word of God. You want to be able to endure the trials that come into your life? You need this. You need this word. Without it, you're not going to have it. And patience. How many need patience? Come on. Joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has what? Qualified us. I want you to understand something. When the Lord God calls you, He qualifies you. Here. When the Lord God called you, He qualified you. You are able human beings to be able to walk according to His creation in you. He qualifies you. He makes you able to share in the inheritance of the saints. What's the next two words? In light. Not darkness. You want to prophetically see? Get some of the Word of God. Get some understanding. Get some wisdom. And you're going to be able to see because you've got light. And if you've got light, you're seeing as God sees. He's given you the ability to be clear. I tell you, I've met so many people that are, I just don't know what God wants from me. I don't know what He wants me to do. Well, get some Word and you're going to find out what He wants you to do. Shut up and die, and you're going to find out what He wants you to do. Come on. Amen. Are we going to shut up and die around here?
Yeah, shut up and die.
Come on, let's shut up and die. I'm tired of living life in any other way than what God has for me. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy. It takes too much out of me. I just want to be what He created me to be. Nothing more. Come on, you need to be the same. You need to be what He created you to be, nothing more. That means you got to shut up and die. That means you got to get rid of your agenda. Because your agenda is like a little serpent. Crawls around your feet. You get rid of it and you stomp on it, and then it comes back and starts crawling up your leg, comes around your waist and crawls up into your mind. And you go, oh yeah, that's what I want to do. What God's saying, kill that snake. Put it under your feet and keep it there. God wants you to walk in His agenda and give up yours. If you don't, you're not going to have strength. You're not going to have joy. You're not going to have His will. You're not going to have His understanding. You're not going to have His wisdom. You're not going to have His knowledge. You're not going to have any of those things that God has called you to have unless you give up, you shut up, and you die. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness. What does it mean to walk in the domain of darkness? It means I can't see where I'm going. How many people are going to hell and they can't see it? How many people are walking down that broad road that leads to destruction and they can't see it? God's asking you to stop that. Take a hold of the narrow way. That way that may not look like a pleasant way to travel, but is the right way to travel. We so many times are full of self, and it gets in the way of the things of God. Come on, I'm talking to human beings here. I know I struggle with the same things. But let me say something. Let me say this. If you really want to get rid of your agenda and replace it with His, then you got to mean it. It doesn't mean that it won't show up again. But if you mean it, you'll get rid of it again. Hear me. You'll get rid of it again. Every time it shows up, you'll get rid of it. Because you are so desirous of what He wants. I don't want to lay a single brick that He didn't lay. I don't want to take a single step that He didn't ordain. Well, what does the Psalm say? What does David say? David had an understanding of what the Word of God can bring to your life when he said, "The Word is like a lamp unto my feet. It shows me where I'm going. I know I'm going in the right direction because I can see. I have light. I have prophetic vision." We're talking about prophetic vision. Having it by getting the Word of God. "For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." Get this. I want you to see this. You got to see this. See it. Next verse. "He is the image of the invisible God." That means that Jesus brought the invisible into the visible, where we can behold Him who is invisible. What's the Father like? Look at Jesus. So many people have this idea of the Father being something completely different and Jesus being something other than the Father. But the Bible says, no, He is the perfect image of the Father. Jesus said, "I do nothing except what I see my Father do." When He spoke a word, when He had compassion, when He healed the sick, when He raised the dead, that was the Father. That was the Father's will. Do you believe that the Father has a good reason for your life? "I have plans for you, says the Lord. Not to harm you, but to do good." Do you think that God wants to do good with your life? Do you think He can if you're doing your own thing? What do we got to do? We got to give up, shut up, and die. We got to give up, shut up, and die. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." We're not going to get into that with the JWs. I'm not going to break the spirit. "For by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is also head of the body," the church. Let there be no mistake around this place. Jesus is the head of this church. He is the head. We refuse to do anything unless we check in with Him. And sometimes people get mad at us because we change this or we change that. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the head. I'm just so tired of all these changes. Well, talk to Jesus. I'll bet you if you say, Lord, what should we do? He'll tell you the same thing He's telling us. And you'll say, oh, well, okay, since it comes from Him. Okay, I'm fine with change. Hello. For it was the Father's good pleasure. Well, let me back up. He is also head of the body, the church, and He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him. If all the fullness is dwelling in Him, it ain't in you. I know ministers that walk around thinking they is the deity. That they got the fullness in them. We can be filled with the Spirit, but only He has the fullness. But you know what? There's a glorious thing. The discipleship process. Ephesians chapter 4. An amazing piece of scripture. That says that the five ministries were given to equip the saints for the work of service, the work of ministry, the work of God. Right? Goes on to say that you would be filled up with what? The fullness of the stature of Christ. That boggles my mind. If the fullness dwelled in Him and He dwells in me, guess what? His fullness dwells in me. I am not the fullness. It is a part of me. It dwells inside of me. It is Him. But that doesn't happen without getting wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And yet people think that we just got to have another prayer meeting. We just got to fine-tune the worship. We got to put this song here, and that song over there. Then we pray three times, and we shake our little feet, and then we say, He's here. Not how it works. God comes when He wants to come because He's got a people that are loving on Him. He's got a people that are interested in what He wants to do, not in what they want to do. He's got a people that are hungry for the Word of God. He's got a people that are hungry for His presence. He's got a people that are hungry, that want Him. I remember when my children were little, and I couldn't wait to get home. I could not understand the people I worked with. They had families and children like I did. But they would want to go and have a couple drinks at the bar before they went home. I could not understand that. I couldn't wait to get home because I knew what was waiting. I had hungry children. Not hungry for food, but hungry to see their daddy. And that just made me want to come home because I wanted to experience that love and express love back to them. That was exciting. And yet, we don't see our God in that same frame of mind that He wants to come here. He wants to dwell with us. But we've got to create the right atmosphere. We got to get rid of our agenda. We got to give up. We got to shut up. And we got to die. Or He ain't coming. He wants to come to a people that are not full of themselves, not full of their own wants, not full of their own desires, not full of their own agenda, but are full of a desire to seek the things of God, to walk in His power, to do exploits, do miracles, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, heal the blind. Is that not our God? Every time He shows up, doesn't He do that? Hello? Every time our God shows up, people get healed. Sandals don't wear out, clothes don't wear out, get fresh manna from heaven. Come on. Every time He shows up, miracles happen. Red Sea parts. Hey. The Jordan Park. Hey. Axe heads float. Because he shows up. Elisha strikes the water with the mantle of Elijah. Parts. When God shows up, nature gives way. And we walk into a supernatural. We've got to be supernatural minded and quit being so physical minded. Okay. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, some of us still are. Hello? We get hostile towards God in our mind because we think things should be working out differently. Oh, come on. I'm talking to you. Quit having your expectations demanded that God line up with them. If something's not happening in my life, then I need to find out, God, what is in me that you want to get rid of so that the what you want to happen can happen? Instead of blaming God when things go wrong, we've got to get before the throne and say, what do you want, Lord? What is it? Are you just testing me? Is there something in my life that you want to remove? Come on, if you're not serious about this, if you're not really serious about this, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Destiny is an easy thing to get a hold of. It's a most difficult thing to walk in. In other words, oh, I like the prophetic word that says, I'm going to speak with kings. I'm going to have all this wonderful, beautiful things happen to my life. I'm going to be known around the world. I'm going to write books. I'm going to do all these great things. Oh, it's easy to grab a hold of that because that's inflating your ego. But then when the Lord says, wait a minute. I want you on your face. I want you to give up, shut up, and die. But what about the things I wanted? Give up, shut up, and die, or you're not getting anything from me. But, come on, let's negotiate. Give up, shut up, and die, or you're not going there. That's the hard part. That's walking in destiny when you can do that. You know why? Because the servant of God, whose heart belongs to him, the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordained by God. Do you want your steps to be ordained by God? Then quit swearing when you get in a traffic jam. I'm going to be late. Apparently, Holy Spirit wants you to be late. So kick back and enjoy it. We were driving home the other day behind this big piece of equipment. And I was telling Catherine, the guy behind me is livid. He's shaking his fist. He's angry. He's going out. He's going over on this way. I think he's going past. But he didn't. He was just mad. And he's got a passenger over there going. I'm saying the poor passenger guy, the guy's kicking up a storm. Relax. God might be protecting you from something. Relax. When you have given your life to him, your heart to him, you've shut up, you've give up, and you've died. then your steps can be ordained by Him, and nothing can come into your path except it was ordained by Holy Ghost. And when it's ordained by Him, expect an encounter. You thought you were just going to the Quick Trip. You thought you were just going down there to get a bottle of milk. And on your way, something's happened in front of you. You can't get by. And you're just sitting there and you're waiting and you're frustrated. And then you walk into the Quick Trip. Oh, man. And got this angry look on your face. And then God gives you an encounter of somebody to witness to. Hello, idiot. If you'd have got there earlier, that person wouldn't have been there. But when you give up, shut up, and die, you let these things happen because you know God's got a purpose. And He's going to bring it about in your life. Come on. Prophetic vision. Seeing. We're not there yet. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or in things in heaven, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If, condition, I can see all the legalists going, I knew there was a condition to salvation. Not what you might think, dear legalist. Let us read. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast. We just found out how to get steadfast, didn't we? Or have you forgotten already? What's the matter with my congregation? Have you forgotten already how to get steadfast? You have, haven't you?
Read the Word.
Read the Word. Yes, thank you. Study the Word. Get the Word in you. It will cause you to be steadfast. Here's the Word again. Oh, you guys are working me. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast. How can you be firmly established and steadfast if you're not willing to get into the Word and study? Somebody tell me there's another way. There isn't. That means that my ability to be firm in my faith means that I got to get more prophetic vision. I got to see what's going on. I love the feedback we get from students. I got feedback from a student today about a book. They always thought the book was a fine book, but they weren't my student. They weren't a student of Christ in submitting to discipleship. But now that they become a student in Christ, they see. Error, error, error. Remember that robot on Lost in Space? Error. If you don't see the light, you can't see the darkness. If you're not walking in the light, you can't see the darkness. What is the darkness? Those lies that are being told. And all of a sudden, when you start studying the Word, when you get a handle on what God is doing, then you start seeing things prophetically. You start seeing darkness where it is. You say, wait a minute, that really sounds good and tickles my ear, but that is completely subjective and has no basis in Scripture. I can see now. I have my Word glasses on. And it's fun to see. It's fun to walk in the truth. Because the more truth you walk in, the more darkness you can see. And the great thing about seeing darkness is you can rescue others. What is it that Jesus said about having the ear of a disciple? So that he might do what? Sustain the weary one with what? Oh, not a prayer? Not a song? Not a worship service? No, with a word. We are sustained and made steadfast with the word. Do you think God knows what he's doing? Okay. Firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, to filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. Of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship of God, from God. Notice Paul is not self-proclaimed. I'm the head around here. You got anything to say, you say it to me. That's the attitude we see sometimes. Paul seen himself being established by who? By God. His ministry established by God. Now, of this church I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God, bestowed on me for your benefit. That means that your gifting, your charisma, your ability to wow the crowd has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with them. Your ability to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ is the gift of God to you so that you can produce fruit in the earth, not grow a name to yourself, not to grow a big title to yourself, not to have your name in lights, not to be honored among men. If you're one who seeks honor, rebuke that in your life right now. If you're seeking honor, get rid of it. It'll tear you apart. It'll keep you from learning. It'll keep you from advancing because you're back there wanting, I want people to honor me. And all the other students are, and you sit back there, well, I want people to honor me. That'll keep you back. You want to grow? Give up, shut up, and die. That's the only way to grow. I've been on both sides of this fence. I've been on the side where, I'm called to ministry. My name is brother, pastor, apostle, teacher, bishop, Mark David Shaw. And don't you forget it. I've been on that side of the fence. And on that side of the fence, you go nowhere. Your feet got cement shoes on them, and you're stuck in the mud, and everybody's passing you by. And you go, what am I doing wrong? I'm your man, God. Oh, no, you're not. You are your own man. You need to quit being your man and become his man. Amen. You need to give up, shut up, and die. God bestowed on me for your benefit so that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. That is the mystery which has been hidden, not seen, in the dark. How can it be hidden when the prophets prophesied this thing would happen? Because the prophets were in darkness. They couldn't even see it. They spoke about it because they were saying what God told them to say. But they didn't understand. They longed to understand, but they didn't have understanding. It was hidden. It was a mystery. It was shrouded in darkness. People could not see it. from the past ages and generations, but has now been manifested to his saints. Hallelujah. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching. Uh-oh, somebody's teaching. I thought that you don't need any man to teach you. I got the Holy Ghost. He teaches me all things. I don't need to be discipled. I don't need to be taught by man anything. I got the Holy Ghost. Man, you need to submit yourself. Come on, I want you, every one of you right now, start thinking. Start thinking of people that say that. Everybody that's in your life that say that, are they going anywhere? No. That was a quick no. And it's a quick no because they don't go anywhere. Because they are denying the process that Jesus established and modeled for his church. And if we are ever to grow, we need to get that process back in the church. Start discipling. Start submitting. Start loving one another like Christ loved the church. Come on, amen, hallelujah. And come together in unity of faith. Being unified in faith means that I have a doctrine, you got a doctrine, and they match. Hallelujah. That's being unified in faith. If we're not discipled, we're not going to have unity. We're going to go off on this belief structure and that tangent. Well, I'm not going to that church because they preach a different revelation than what I got. Well, if you haven't been discipled, I question your revelation, sir, because you have not submitted to the process that Jesus submitted to, that he modeled as a mentor, that he told his disciples to continue. How hard is that to understand? Yet we got a bunch of charismatic Pentecostal wannabes running around, raising their hands in the air, rolling in the aisles, barking like dogs, and they're still barking like dogs. They're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere. They're not advancing. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be stuck still. I want to advance. I want to get into my calling. I want to get into my destiny. I want to go forward. I want to get to the end and look back and say, Father, I glorified you because I accomplished everything you gave me to do. Don't you want that? Verse 27. To whom God willed to make known. To make known. See. See. If you don't know, you can't see. If you do know, you can see. To make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ. If there's no teaching, there's no completing. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Oh, I don't know about you, but I want his power to mightily work within me so that it's known to be his power and not my own. I want people to look at that dumb kid out of high school and say, what in the world has happened? That must be the finger of God. My life needs to be a testimony to the power and glory of Jesus Christ. If my life is not a testimony to him, then my life is worthless. If I'm not bringing glory to my Father, then my life is worthless. I do not want to stand before heaven and see all of my work just burned up because it was all of my work. And I'll be doggone. Can I say that? That's a southern term. I'll be doggone if any of you will stand before him and have your works burned up. I don't want that for you, and I don't want that for me. Do you want to go somewhere? Hey, do you want to be going forward? Or do you want to just be stuck in the mud? Then give up, shut up, and die. That's the formula. Give up, shut up, and die. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf, and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge. Hello? Resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are hidden, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. Can you see where this is going? Go right back to chapter 1. I pray that you be filled with all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of Christ, having power, having steadfastness, having firmness of faith. Because in him, Christ, who dwells in you, is the fullness of all wisdom and knowledge. Your ability to go forward then means that you have to believe in what he says to you today. If you're not willing to do what he says to you today, what's he saying to you today? What in the world is with my congregation? There! Shut up, give up, and die! That's what he's telling you today. And if you will shut up, give up, and die, you can walk in that revelation and go forward into your destiny. Man, I'm starting to sweat up here. I say this so that no one will delude you with persuasive argument. Come on. Those, remember I asked you before I got here, think of all those people you know that refuse, the Holy Spirit to teach me. I need no man to teach me. Every one of them that say that are stuck right where they're at. They're deluded with an argument that is not true. Darkness. It's not popular to walk in the light. But you're going to see the darkness if you do. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good what? You're guessing. You're not following along. Pick up your Bibles and follow along. Rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. Uh-oh, we have a word. Discipline. What do you think the word disciple comes out of? Discipline. A disciple is a disciplined one. One whose character has been hammered by the mentors. The rod of correction has been applied to them. They've been disciplined and they've maintained under that discipline. And they've come forward to be firm in faith. And those that refuse the process of discipleship, refuse to submit their character to be dealt with, are those that go nowhere in the body of Christ. Or if they go somewhere, they go somewhere spreading delusions. Hello? Do you want to set people free? You want to be able to sustain the weary one with a word? You want to have prophetic vision? Become a disciplined one. Your good discipline and the stability of your faith. You can't have stability of faith without the discipline. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in and established in your faith, just as you were, instructed. Somebody's following along, praise God. Instructed and overflowing with gratitude. Hey, you're catching on, sheep. I'm starting to hear a lot of bah. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Let me put this in English. Hallelujah. When people come and say, God doesn't heal the sick anymore, that's somebody operating out of the elemental principles of the world. They trust in the doctors for everything. I got a news for you. King Asaph trusted in the doctors and he died. And even the Bible said, you went to the physicians and you never came to me. God wants us to come to Him. Why? Because He's a God that heals. He wants to break those laws of nature in your life. And so people try to delude you with these ideas. There's no more prophets. Oh yeah? Really? There's no more apostles. Well, if there are no more apostles, then there are no more churches being built. There are no more countries being influenced with the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are no more people being sent out. The foolishness of men's hearts being darkened in their own imagination. Notice that your own imagination creates darkness. Your own imagination arises out of your own agenda. Your agenda creates your imagination. When you have a vision of yourself, is it in the context of what God wants you to do, or is it in your agenda? Because what God wants you to do may not look so beautiful to you in the natural, but in the spiritual, it is more beautiful than precious gold. What do you want? What do you want? You want your agenda, or do you want His? Then what do you got to do? Okay, you're all mixed up, but you got it. Give up, shut up, and die. In any order. Just do it, right? Okay. According to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. And I want you to look around you, and I want you to think about those that have given up on the miracles of God. And I want you to look at their congregations, and I want to ask you a very important question. Do they have miracles? What about those congregations that just dare to believe that God said what He said, and He's real, and He's going to do it because He said He's going to do it? What do you see in their congregation? Miracles. Miracles. You see, but we like to think our way out of God's agenda. And we say, oh, well, He doesn't do that anymore because it ain't happening through my hands. Therefore, He doesn't do it anymore. Come on. Isn't that the truth? Well, he's not doing it in my church, therefore it ain't happening no more. Well, I got news for you. It's going to happen in this church. It's going to take place in this church on a regular basis. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see healings. We're going to see all of that stuff. Why? Because he said it. And if he said it, he'll bring it to pass. If I will give up, shut up, and die. He'll bring it to pass. He'll do. Moses just shut up and throw that stick on the ground. That'll scare the daylights out of him. Okay, that's easy. Okay. For in him, notice the word for. Let me go back to the previous verse. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. My God has come to earth. My God has saved mankind, and now my God has come to inhabit you. Oh, you just missed a clap opportunity. He's come to dwell in you. And if he's dwelling in you, and the fullness of the deity dwelled in him on earth, then well, guess what's inside of you? That means that there should be miracles breaking out of you. That means that you should be seeing that God wants to heal the sick so bad through you that you just can't wait to lay hands on that person. You just can't wait to, I know he's going to do it. I know he's going to do it. I just got to get an opportunity to pray for you. God's going to do it. And he is doing it. He's done marvelous, marvelous, marvelous miracles right here already. He's healed cancer. Brandon and I went to visit his uncle, who was, they'd given him up to die of cancer, laying there on his deathbed. And I went in there to pray, and I started praying. And I'm feeling like, well, this is kind of a dry prayer. Brandon must have felt like it was a dry prayer too, because he picked it up and started praying in the Spirit. And that man got up out of his bed and went home. Given up to die. God wants to do miracles through you because he loves. What God that is a God of love does not want to heal the sick? And you're the body of Christ. You're his body. And his body is full of the fullness of the deity. Can you grab a hold of that? And in him, you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Snip, snip. Snip, snip. Give up. Shut up. Die. God is circumcised. How does God circumcise your flesh? Brokenness. Huh? How does he do it? Threshing floor. Anybody else? No! The next verse has the answer. See, I just didn't let you read ahead. You guys fell for that one. You're getting mad at me too, right? Okay, let me go back up. In him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism. Woo! That means that water baptism has the power to remove the power of the flesh in your life. There's a circumcision that takes place when you go under the water. Hallelujah. The separation of the old man. Who gets to die in the water? And people don't think it's important anymore? In which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the circumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. That is the law. And there are people saying that it's not the law. I want to ask you a very important question then. If it's not the law, where's the debt? If it's not the law, where's the debt? Let me read it again. You're looking at me like a calf at a new gate. Okay. Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. Why? Apostle Paul said, I was alive once without the law, and the law came and I died. The law kills you. It takes your life eternally. It's hostile to you. And he has taken it. What's it? It can be nothing other but the law. If it's not law, where's the debt? If you're not breaking the law, then there's no debt. But if you've broken the law, there's a debt to be paid. And if it's not the law, then there can be no debt. So why the debt if it's not the law? It indeed is the law. Out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, when he had, disarmed the rulers and authorities. That means that God has removed his holy good law out of your way. Why? So I can be saved. Well, yeah. But the book of Romans says he removed it so that you could bear fruit unto God. In other words, if you're one of these people that like to live under the law, have at it. But you're not going to bear any fruit. Why? You're going to be spending all of your energy, all of your time, trying to overcome sin. When Jesus overcame it for you, moved it out of the way, and say, now, son, daughter, become what you were created to be. Enter into destiny. And I'm going to do great things through you. I'm even going to perform miracles. I'm the deity. I'm inside you. I want to break miracles out through you. Not so that you can have your agenda, not so that you can have honor among men, but so that you can bring honor to God. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, if he's disarmed, what threat is he to you? Next time you come up with somebody who says, the devil's just messing with me. I can't do anything. I wake up in the morning, he's there. I go to bed, he's there. I dream, he's there. I'm just so beaten down. Might want to read that verse to him. I don't know, but if you see him with a gun, it's a toy gun, okay? It's not real, all right? You can take him. You can take him. Why? Because he's been disarmed. And you've been armed. And he's been disarmed. What threat is a disarmed bandit to you? You wouldn't know that talking to some people in the body of Christ. You'd think he's got this big gun and he pulls it over. I do what I say or I'm going to blow you away. The reality is he's got nothing. He's completely disarmed. Has nothing to touch you with. He has no authority. Because Jesus disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to, let's read the whole scripture. I've had people quote, well, the Bible says you're not to act as my judge. The Bible says I am to act as your judge. Sit down and listen to what I've got to say while I judge you. Sorry, it's the way the scripture says it. Can you not judge these matters among yourselves? Can you not constitute the smallest law courts in your own churches? According to Apostle Paul, we're supposed to have court right here in the church. When's the last time you went to church to hear a trial? But Apostle Paul says, can't you do that among yourselves? Okay. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food. Don't you tell me to put down my fork. You're judging me. Drink. Don't you take my water away. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where people judge based on clean food or unclean food. Good drink, bad drink, whatever. Or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. What in the world is this fighting going on among Christians? Well, Saturday's the real Sabbath. No, Sunday's the real Sabbath. We are only supposed to worship God on this particular day. When the Sabbath meant you were supposed to rest. Had nothing to do with going to church. It was a day of rest. You're supposed to worship God the whole week. Uh-oh. We got that turned around. Why is it all this infighting about Sabbath? Well, I go to this church because they believe in the real Sabbath, Saturday. Well, I believe in the real Sabbath, Saturday, too. But that doesn't preclude me from worshiping God on Sunday. By the way, you can't judge me in regard to Sabbath. Well, Christians are supposed to honor the Feast of Israel. If you don't, you're not a real Christian. You're not to judge me with regard to feasts. You see, all this fighting going on among Christians is idiotic when the clear scripture right here says we're not to judge one another regarding these things. Stop it. Give up. Shut up and die. Things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of the angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Short version, somebody running on their own agenda. That's what that is right there. And not holding fast to the head. Who's the head? Whew, had me worried there. That was a bit delayed. I'm a little worried. Jesus is the head. Who's the head? Jesus. Oh, that's better. Yeshua. Oh, okay. Jesus, Yeshua. Now, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. We're almost done here. Grows with a growth that is from God. In other words, if you don't step into destiny, you're not going to be a part of that body moving in tangent with the Holy Spirit. I want you to see. Can you imagine what the church would look like if we would all just give up, shut up, and die? It would be a beautiful orchestration of people in unity, functioning in their calling, in their gifting, doing what Jesus would do if he were here, being the body of Jesus, moving in agreement with each other, deferring to one another's gifts. Would that not be beautiful? I long for that. That's what causes growth. If you have died with Christ, what are we talking about? Give up, shut up, and die. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, or do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with use, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have to be sure the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. Has no value when people say, you can't do that. You ladies, you got to wear tight buns. Come on, get them real tight. Get them so tight that it pulls your forehead to the back of your head. And don't complain about a headache either. And then you got to wear that little that long Pentecostal dress that touches the ground. And men, can't have long hair, dude. It's not going to fly in the body of Christ. These are all things that have no power against the flesh. And they waste time. Because, as we read in Colossians, if you want to walk in a manner worthy of Christ, what do you got to do? And get... be filled with all wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Now we know how to get there. The question is, are we going to do it? It's easy to see destiny. It's another thing to walk in it. Why don't you guys come up and let's pray for you. I'm going to pull on you guys a little bit. I'm going to pull on you. That prayer of surrender, how many are willing to pray that right now? Yeah. Are you all ready? Yeah. Let's pray it together. Yeah. Father, make me into the man or woman.
Father, make me into the man or woman.
That you've created me to be.
That you've created me to be.
That... without regard,
that without regard
to my family,
my family,
my finances,
my finances,
my cars,
my cars,
my house,
my house,
my land,
my land.
Just make me into that person.
Just make me into that person.
I decide this day,
I decide this day
to give up,
give up,
shut up,
shut up,
and die.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Expect a change in your life.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank truly. Yes. Truly. It'll happen. Amen. Anybody want specific prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, we are equipped to see the presence of God corporately. I have an expectation to see it, not just during seminar. I have an expectation every time I come here that he's going to show up. Yes. Even when we're not having church. We can just see his presence, have his presence among us. Amen? Well, praise God. Anybody got a testimony or anything I want to say? Questions?
I was praying for the seminar this morning, and God told me that there's going to be a visitation of his spirit and truth.
Yes, amen. I love it. That's in agreement with what another prophet has said. You're in good company.
Creator says it too.
Yep. So, we have an expectation.
God told it to somebody else, to a little guy over in Virginia, to pray even now, start praying for the seminar.
Yes.
God wants us to pray to clear the way.
Yes. And let's all do something. Let's come here
excited and expecting,
because we've all just given up, and we've shut up, and we've died. Amen?
Yeah, yeah.
And let's just let him show up. Yes.
Pray for the speakers.
Right. Yeah. Definitely. I feel like there's going to be an anointing on those guys.
Yeah.
And I just happen to believe the prophecy that Brandon gave when we first came into this church. Yeah. And I'm excited about that prophecy, because Brandon said that speakers are going to come in to speak here to impart something, and they're going to go away with an impartation. Yeah. They're going to know they've been touched by God when they go out from this place, and they're going to know something happened right here. Amen. We like to give stuff away, huh? Yeah, I love it. I love to give stuff away. Glory. Glory. All right. Praise God. We're done. Yeah, you want to pray? For
the nation.
Oh. God intervened in that today. It kind of changed it. I started praying, and he took me in a different direction. Unless you feel led of the Holy Spirit, do it. Oh, okay.
I'm led to go to the bathroom.
Okay.